I sound good. You guys sound good.
I sound good.
You sound good.
Friends, and welcome to the Autopod Decepticast, your bi-weekly podcast that delivers an episode-by-episode breakdown of the original G1 series. This is episode number 170, Transformers episode number 63.
Yeah.
The Revenge of Bruticus. This is your host, Aaron, and with me are two guys. I don't have an intro.
That's sweet.
Happy New Year.
It's true. This will come out a couple of days after New Year's.
How's everybody's 2022 going?
Are you guys planning any resolutions?
Nope.
All right.
Just keep rocking and rolling.
Sucking and fucking.
Yeah.
Brian, how are you changing yourself for the better?
Actually, Wes and I have been semi-seriously talking about moving out of the country.
Oh, where?
Maybe like a Caribbean island or Mexico or like Argentina.
That's cool. I always, especially since the world started going to shit a few years ago, I started fantasizing about becoming an expat, and I support it 100%. You will be missed, but it will give us a great excuse to see what kind of vehicles in other countries that you leave broken down in the front of wherever you live there.
Listen, it's not fair. I am forced to own a car.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to, maybe wherever you're moving to, right?
Probably won't.
In Argentina, I feel like maybe your van is just like what everybody else's car looks like.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Argentina is a completely normal country.
Shots fired in Argentina. Shots fired.
Jesus. You're going to get us like killed in South America.
Try to make a you make a Falklands joke instead.
I mean, they do have a lot of, they did have a lot of ex-Nazis.
Yeah.
They're mostly dead.
They're not very good with submarines.
Argentina?
Right. They had a submarine that they lost.
Well, we've lost a couple.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the timeline on this?
We've just been talking about it and started looking into it. I don't know. It's also the complication is like the chickens and this old ass dog that we have and the cat. So I don't know. A couple of years maybe.
I have a friend in town here that is for a few years he's been working on it, and he's actually making the move in January. He is moving to Adelaide, Australia.
Oh.
And he's really excited about getting the hell out.
Yeah. I also thought about New Zealand, but
it's so expensive, but it's so awesome.
It is expensive.
I'd love to move to, I have a crush on, well, there's all, Ardern.
There's also like, a part of it is also we don't want to go anywhere whiter, like where it's all white people.
Sure.
So.
I like going, I like your ideas of where you're moving to because there's the prospect of the days not, I'd love to live in Scandinavia just because of the quality of life, but at the same time, also, it's so far north that your days and nights are so long, depending on what, that doesn't seem to matter to you, though, how long the day is or how long the night is. Or
I hate time, I hate the fact we have daylight savings time.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
But no, like physical days don't bother. Like it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter. You don't go outside really anyway. that's really cool. I wish you the best of luck. And if you move somewhere, we will have a great excuse to come visit you.
You're bettering yourself by getting out of the country. Caleb is just going to keep on rocking and
rolling. Rocking and rolling.
S-ing and effing.
What about you, Aaron?
I'm starting therapy soon.
Yay. Following.
Is it with Caleb's therapist?
It is not. To my knowledge, I don't know who you're. Oh, your therapist. No, I do know that it's not you.
Yeah, me and Aaron had a lot of. We had a lot of time last weekend. The weekend being like in December, I drove Aaron to St. Louis and back in one day. We did a shuttle run. It was fun.
Yeah, we got caught up on all things emotional.
Yeah, we talked about therapy and
then we went to IKEA and bought everything.
Yeah,
did you get meatballs?
No.
Oh, missed opportunity.
But I've had them there.
But we did go to a really good place for lunch. Enough. We went to Goya's Deli, which is over 100-year-old deli that has hot pastrami sandwiches.
Nice. I love hot Jewish
salami.
Delis.
It was a hot, oh,
they probably have pastrami,
I'm
too.
Sorry.
They were hot salami.
Hot salami. They specialize in this hot salami sandwich.
I'd never had anything like it. It was amazing. Like, salami is normally a cured meat. Like, it's hung up and dried for, you know, so it could be weeks. But this salami is not done that way. It's ground fresh, stuffed, and boiled. Mm-hmm. And then they keep it hot. It never gets cold, I guess. And then they slice it hot and
right there
serve it to you. It doesn't have the same texture as it's not it, rubbery like a cured
meat. What was that award
is.
They won? They won an award.
They it looked like they had a James Beard award.
They did. Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was a baller sandwich.
One of those places
I was eating it right now.
It's one of those places I never took you to the 12 years I lived in St. Louis. Sorry.
Well, we'll all be dead eventually. It doesn't matter.
Love it.
God's like, you can go back and do one more thing. You're like, I just want that fucking sandwich Caleb talked about.
All
right. Well,
have all the sandwich you can stand. And and it turns out an O. Henry situation, you're in hell.
I'm in physical therapy. I'll be in
mental
therapy. I guess emotional therapy.
Good.
We'll get it.
It's done me some good.
By this time, 2022, I'm going to be so much better than you guys.
I hope so. That's kind of like setting that's not setting the bar too high, really.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey.
Why don't you serve us a dish best served cold and liquidy and preferably with booze in it and in a glass, not in a dish?
That is the sweetest revenge.
I'd love it if it's a hot salami drink.
Oh, God. What did you get your boys for Christmas?
Like some Lego stuff. We're not doing a lot of gifts this year.
I had really good ideas for gifts for you guys, but there's no reason they won't work next year.
Ryan's like, sure.
No, I did. Sure you son of a bitch.
I had such a great idea for you guys for gifts. Sorry.
That you canceled it?
Yeah. Speaking of Christmas presents, I got something in the mail. It's a Merry Christmas from Radio Free Cybertron. Sean Hamilton sent me this nice little Merry Christmas, and it's got the whole crew and all of their people. There's a Don is they're pulling a sleigh. Brian's Santa, Don is Rudolph, and I see like diecast in here and Matt. A bunch of other folks. There's Sean down there eating a hot dog by the trees.
Yeah, their drawings are. I love those drawings. They're always fun. The colored pencil,
it's good stuff.
Recreations.
Yeah, so this was great. I got one a year ago or a couple of years ago, so it's nice that they made an effort to send this out. And so, yeah, Merry Christmas and happy holidays back at you guys at Radio Free Cybertron.
And to all of you, I hope you had happy holidays.
Yeah, I'm saying this. We're recording this.
It'll come out like January 2nd.
Yeah, so we're recording all of this mid-December, so
yep.
It's not Christmas here yet while we're recording it, but this is great. So thank you very much. Keep the good content going, and I'll keep commenting. And so what do you got for us here drink-wise?
Yeah. Hey, since this is like a New Year's Eve, well, not New Year's Eve, New Year episode, we're recording this the 12th, but I thought we'd have a nice like New Year's Eve style cocktail. So we've got a variation on the French 75. This cocktail is called the Bitter French, created by Phil Ward at Death & Co. in 2008. This is both an excellent celebratory cocktail and an introduction to Campari, for any of you who haven't tried it. I love Campari.
What is Campari?
It is an aperitif. It's very bitter. It's super, super bitter. It's a component of a Negroni.
Okay.
So this is 1 ounce or 60 mils of gin, a quarter ounce, 7.5 mils of Campari, a half ounce, 15 mils of lemon juice, and a half ounce of simple syrup, and then dry champagne. Shake all the ingredients except the champagne with ice, strain into a flute glass, and then top with champagne, and squeeze a grapefruit twist over the drink and discard it. There's no garnish, and that's what we have here.
I know that I make a joke about saying drinks are refreshing, but it's almost like you're now just provoking me because I can already tell.
Wanted to do something with champagne for the new year, basically.
Bubbly and got great.
Like West and I have planned our New Year's Eve. We're gonna do caviar and champagne and like some probably raw oysters and.
Cheers.
I like the color.
Yeah,
it's pink.
Ryan, your glass and your curating of glass is always.
It all is on the inside.
So you beat me to it.
The presentation's so great.
Thank you.
And it is, of course, very refreshing and really good.
I hadn't tried this before making it, but we have about a half bottle of champagne left, so.
Maybe we'll drink into that later on. No, I don't know.
There's nothing better than champagne drunk in the afternoon on a Sunday.
Yeah. I have to take my kid to school at 6:45 tomorrow morning a.m. because he signed up to serve coffee to the teachers.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, yeah, it is. Except I have to get up earlier than normal. But I guess what I'm saying is like, it would be not so good to get champagne drunk and wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
The mental image of you just being like, driving him to school before the sun.
I just have a bad headache. I guess that means I'll start work early and maybe do work.
There are times, like, I have a flex schedule, so I can work anytime basically at all.
Yeah.
And as long as I'm there for meetings. But, like, so there are times where I wake up at, like, 5 in the morning and I can't get back to sleep and I'm just like, well, I guess I'll just start work and be done at 1.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's great.
Yeah. Maybe I'll bust it out hard tomorrow and then start working on, maybe I can try to finally get that part of my contribution to the booty box.
Booty boxes. Uh-huh. Speaking by the time this comes out, hopefully they'll be out.
Should be we in
the
actually have they should produced, be in the this is actually happening, or has happened if you're, yeah. I'm
excited to share some teasers.
There's a lot of great stuff.
Yeah. I hope mine works out. Is it going to be another charcoal drawing? I like the concept. I'm not going to talk about it because I want everybody to be pleasantly
surprised.
People
love that shockwave drawing you did.
Yes. Yes. I'm really proud of it.
Sorry for those of you who didn't get in early enough.
Yeah. Hopefully I can
measure
only
up. Sold out. Only the old heads know what we're talking about.
Those are
about.
All gone, right?
I think so.
No, I've got some. I think, do each of you have?
I do.
Okay.
Now you have all the cards.
Oh, yeah.
All the three.
For sure.
Did. That was an early on thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were real motivated back then.
Pre-booty box.
Those episodes, it was a lot, honestly, so much easier to do. We used to record 3 at a time every week.
Yeah. Each episode was like 20 to 40 minutes long.
I don't think we missed a week.
We didn't.
A year.
It's true. We did one clip episode on like 49.5, but.
But we still published.
Yeah, that was actually harder for me than any thing has ever been.
Yeah, you got into that and you were like, oh,
I've made
God.
A huge mistake.
Yeah. What have I done?
Patreon exists.
Yes.
It's a thing. Booty if boxes. You want to get on and,
booty boxes.
And see what these booty boxes all about, get on and yeah. wait 6 months or longer.
Yeah, but still.
We send out one a
coming.
Year.
They're coming.
Well, because we already we'll have new merch printed up, somebody who were to join now, be around for 6 months, would probably receive
you
one
would
in
get
a more
a,
timely
I'd probably get a
fashion.
Booty box later in the year, yeah.
Right. And then you stay with us, and maybe you'll get the next booty box whenever we do. Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's finish this year's booty box. Guys, we got a shout out.
Yeah.
We do.
To us.
Oh, well, it'd be weird if we were shouting out for other podcasts.
Well, this is a shout out from somebody out in the world. Some might even call it from England.
England.
This is a iTunes user and we'll say Twitter user as well, Captain Alexis.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a person that leads off with a headline. Is there an ACOM cocktail?
It's just a bucket of shit.
On ice.
It's a lot of fun.
But it's
though.
Not liquid shit. It's just like,
ugh.
I'll drink it.
It's frozen shit.
I'll drink an ACOM drink.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, I will.
Captain Alexis goes on to say, I like these guys a lot. It proves that not all, quote, middle-aged men, Transformers nerd podcasts, unquote, have to be boring.
They don't have to be. Hey, they choose to be.
We didn't. And we didn't say that. If you start at the beginning, which I did, it's a hardcore slog through every minute of the movie. What a USP. I don't know what a USP is.
User sweet. Penis.
But it's perfect for lounging around when I was under COVID house arrest and felt a bit
I
woozy.
I do love all the reviews are like, I had nothing to do. I listened to this,
I
guess.
Fishing. I was out on the boats. You can sleep a bit, and when you drift back awake, they're still discussing an Insecticon.
I love it.
Recommend.
I like how people are like passing out and coming to while we're doing
like
it.
It's a fever dream.
Yeah, I love it.
Also recommended if you have COVID.
Well, that's what its next line is.
Oh,
recommend if you get COVID. Now, that's a recommendation. Can't wait for the mind warp that is ACOM season 3. Is there an ACOM cocktail? Ryan, I was going to ask you to describe an ACOM cocktail.
I know what USP, I think I know what they mean, a unique selling proposition.
Oh, of course. That's marketing speak.
You know what? At the beginning of season three, I will come up with an ACOM cocktail, and it's just going to be like mayonnaise and piss. Like, enjoy it.
I can't wait. I'm so excited about season three. God, it's so gross. I've been waiting for this for a while.
I'm bummed. Guys, we only have two more episodes of season two.
And I think they're both ACOM. So enjoy them.
Yay. It's here. My dream.
While you can.
My dream is here. It's happening.
Well, thank you, Captain Alexis. Yeah. Which, by the way, you can find Captain Alexis at Captain Alexis on Twitter, if you care to.
He's a good looking fella.
Yeah, he likes
handsome, strong jawline.
He likes VWs. It looks like he likes a certain kind of like yurt camping. Mm-hmm. Oh God, I want to go to the British Isles so bad and do stuff like that. Like bothy. Ever heard of a bothy?
No. What's that?
A bothy is a thing in UK where you hike and they have these like primitive like structures that you can hike to and you can spend the night, and there's sometimes there's like a stove there and like a bed. It's
yeah, I know about this.
Bothies. They're known in Scotland and Ireland and in UK, and if you
there's a similar thing. There's some sorts of things like that in America as well, in the western or like the mountain states and stuff like that. Yeah.
So this guy looks like a bothy guy.
can we go glamping in the UK?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess you
I
could
guess
glamp.
If you're
but
a nerd.
Is, yeah, but they're like, the bothies are like, fuck your glamping.
It is like, it's fucking basically four rooms and maybe a stove.
Yeah.
Or four walls.
A stone structure. Yeah, it's a stone structure. Maybe, or they do have probably some more modern ones built, but it's awesome. If you're in your bothy, you've downloaded some APDC, listen to APDC in your bothy.
Just chill with nature.
Yeah, exactly.
And Transformers.
Wes and I bought what's the word? The thing. It's a tent. That's the word. We bought a tent.
Oh God!
Recently, and really? I was like, we could buy. Oh, because I watch like, I am obsessed with like, you know. Oh, we live like out in the wilderness, and like I watch a thing of a guy who lives in a tent within a tent, and I'm like, he had a cute dog, and they were friends.
I'm trying to imagine Ryan being like in a tent.
Yeah, he did camp with me on my bachelor party.
Yeah. Ugh.
You didn't like that, though.
No, I didn't.
I was bossing him around in the canoe. Yeah, I would say, though, like,
I was like, this canoe ride will be like 2 hours, right? No, 12.
That's because we stopped.
Hunker down and guess what? You get Caleb to yell at you from behind.
Turn
you
right.
The whole time.
Turn left. Stop. Go backwards. Stop paddling. Start paddling. Idiot.
And there you go. Repeat that.
Yeah, pretty much.
For 8 hours.
Pretty much.
But no, I've been getting I've been getting more into the idea of like outdoorsmanship.
It's just all about preparation. Like get what you need to stay comfortable, and then you get in your little bothy or whatever, your tent.
Yeah.
And then you're set. It's actually really cool.
Is that how you're gonna do it in Venezuela?
Argentina.
There's some Dude, Patagonia. Buddies. Get to Patagonia. If you go to Argentina, there's some great opportunities to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm sad that you're leaving us.
It's not like tomorrow.
How are we going to record remotely?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, well, I'm going to visit.
You heard it here first. The APDC is over.
No, it's not. Yes, it is.
Question mark. Stay tuned. Did we break up at the end of this episode? That's a shout out, by the way, for Alexis.
Alexis, thanks for inspiring the end of the Autobot Decepticast with your
all our shout outs
fancy camping.
Are the worst.
It doesn't have to be fancy.
I know. Not to say the shout outs are the worst. It's our reaction to the shout outs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, is okay, we're the worst at doing it.
I don't want to be offensive, because actually this shout out cracked me up hardcore.
No, it's very, it's
falling
awesome.
Asleep
I love
and
it.
Waking up. And just still that, there. Sounds,
talking about I Insecticons.
I do that when we record.
Yeah.
Alexis, I'd love to talk to you about graphic design and DJing and the North.
Yes. I want to know all of it.
Talk to us.
Yeah.
IRL. Oh, last episode recap. Starscream created robots that like to do battle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. So let's commit ourselves.
Go listen to our Christmas episode.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
And enjoy how thick it is.
It is. It's good
There's
stuff.
There's a lot of shit going on there.
It's long.
A lot of
you
layers
can fall
to
asleep.
That
You can
tiramisu.
Definitely fall asleep. That episode, you can definitely fall asleep and wake up, and you're still in
you're
the middle
You're still... Get yourself a butt knife.
It's like poop knife.
Well, I'm sorry. No, I don't want to be offensive to people who eat a poop knife.
A butt knife is a whole other thing.
Ugh, that just makes me think of seven.
Yeah.
Let's commit to The Revenge of Bruticus by Mr. Larry Strauss, animated by Toei. What's going on here? We're kicking off an episode.
The Revenge of Bruticus.
You'll recall at the end of last episode, Megatron banished Starscream and the Combaticons to an iceberg in space.
Yeah.
And that iceberg sure got bigger.
It grew, didn't it? Yeah, they're all losing their shit.
Well, especially Starscream. I don't think the Combaticons really are. They've got a plan. And Starscream's just choosing to not interact with
them. He's just being a bitch.
He's
just
the
being
whole
a little bitch.
Thing. So they're, they're trapped on this asteroid. They're supposedly low on power. And they're just, it's so goddamn on brand for the Decepticons to be wasting it shooting at each other. And it doesn't matter at all. Because in a second, we'll see that Blastoff is towing the goddamn asteroid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to say right now, I'm not going to bring up the power issues anymore because it doesn't matter.
I get it out of the way. They're out of power, but yet they've got a lot of power.
Yep.
Particularly Blastoff. So they bicker, they fight. Ultimately, Starscream abandons the Combaticons. I do think that they took a warning shot at him, but then he swings around while they're talking shit and just drops
some bombs on
him. Which was interesting. They don't see that very... And he's just talking. He's just chatting. And then he swerves around and he's out of here.
It is also I don't want to get too much on a physics tangent, but even if he didn't have enough power to do anything, to get back to Earth or whatever, which I understand works story-wise, but, physics-wise, all he'd have to do is point himself at Earth, and we're just assuming this asteroid's gravity well is negligible, because it's small enough to... You could probably get a running start and jump off of it and reach escape velocity. Yeah. All he'd have to do is point himself at Earth and blast off and then, cut his engines and then just coast and makes minor adjustments.
Maybe that's what Combaticon does.
But hey, why are we worrying about physics right now? Really?
It's fair. Look, fair enough.
As we get close to season 3, physics just kind of goes out the window.
Why worry about anything? Yeah. Why does anything have to mean anything?
Exactly. That's basically the theme.
Starscream is out of here, and the Combaticons mention that he is now is now on the revenge list.
I had to look this up 3 times because I didn't understand what he was saying. Brawl says, play Starscream on the revenge roster. But all I was hearing was Roseanne roster. And I was like, right behind Megatron, Cybertron, and the planet Earth, plus the national anthem.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
That's a funny Roseanne bar joke for those of you who are now taking Centrum Silver. I literally was, though, hearing Roseanne roster.
So, as Ryan alluded to, Blastoff is towing this asteroid toward Cybertron.
The question almost springs to mind, why don't they just get in Blastoff? But
great point. Because Blastoff would be a lot easier to land
than a goddamn
asteroid, in theory. We transition to Cybertron. Shockwave is running some military drills with some Sentinel droids. I think in the writing they're called Centurion droids, but they don't look the same. Other than maybe a bulbous head.
They're called Sentinel droids, but and I have this note later, but they also Bruticus calls them giant sentinels, and they're animated smaller than everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's also, Starscream really does abandon ship at the wrong moment because everything is about to be coming up Combaticons.
Yeah.
True.
This is a Combaticon spotlight episode, as we'll see. So, yeah, the Shockwave's running these drills, and then what comes into view is the asteroid headed towards the planet.
It is funny because, oh, man, like, Shockwave is just running Sentinel drones through target practice, and even for him, he sounds depressed.
He does. The military bots, they land the rock, which is problematic in all ways, and quickly merge into Bruticus and just start all the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Shockwave attempts to stop him. He manages to fire one in Bruticus' face, but Bruticus then throws Shockwave to the ground.
Yeah, well, say what you will about Shockwave, but he is not scared to get down in the shit. Like, he's grabbed by Bruticus, has a huge cannon pointed at him, and is like, I protect Cybertron at all costs, turns into a gun, and shoots Bruticus in the fucking face.
He takes one. Bruticus lands to the ground. He then does something pretty cool. He uses his helicopter blade shoulder.
That is pretty cool.
To grind up some of the droids.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. So. And this is the end of where I'll say I like that, because the rest of the episode I do not like. Love.
He smashes him. He chops him up. And then eventually he grabs Shockwave from the ground, who's still in gun mode, and uses him to blast the rest of the droids before the coup de grace, which is to jam gun mode Shockwave into one of the cannons on his back and fire him into deep space.
Yeah, that bunch of weird stuff. It felt weird. I mean, we see Megatron being shot by his comrades all the time in gun mode, but like to see Shockwave being picked up in gun mode and shot. And Shockwave is a huge space gun, which it makes sense because Bruticus is enormous. So, like, yeah, he's using him as a gun, but I felt weird about him using him as a gun. And then I was confused when Bruticus takes Shockwave and puts him into the mortar in the back of his back and fires him out. I thought at first Shockwave shot himself out. I just feel like it's confusing.
It works either way,
I guess.
But why would he put him back there if his intent wasn't to shoot him out?
Right. And I'm happy to see the Insecticons are here.
Yeah, we transition. Oh, by the way, Cybertron is now the undisputed property of the Combaticons. They are lords of the planet. They
pretty took easy takeover. What is wrong with you, Autobots?
Mm-hmm. We're back on Earth and shit. Insecticons bust through the ground of a suburban neighborhood and just start chomping on middle-class houses and small businesses like corporate monopolies do and oligopolies.
Yep.
Some shit. Megatron's going back to an old-school plan. He's sucking Energon from the thousands of Insecticon clones and processing other Energon.
Like, do you remember when they did this?
Yeah, I mean, it was the original. Wasn't it the original Insecticon episode?
I looked for an unreasonable amount of time and couldn't find out what episode it was. It might have been Traitor. I don't know, but it was certainly not written by Larry Strauss, and the animation scheme is almost identical. So, but it is kind of cool to see like Megatron going to something that kind of worked in the past, but we immediately dump.
I like how that one Insecticon like looks up, sees the Autobots coming, spits out whatever.
He spits out kickback, spits out some insulation is what it says.
And then goes to town fighting.
I don't know if we've seen this exactly before, but it is the go-to move for Insecticons to just dig into the ground. Yeah.
It's a good move.
They do it a lot. Yeah.
They're fucking hardcore, man.
The Autobots aren't gonna just let the Decepticons enact this plan. They show up. An attack. You've got Prowl, Sunstreaker, Trax, Prime. Megatron intercepts the Autobots, but before they can really get into it, Prime notices the Insecticons are spreading even further into another neighborhood, one that is still inhabited. The Autobots can't fight with all these humans here, so Optimus Prime summons the Protectobots to help evacuate the humans. More
you all know
Autobots.
About the Protectobots.
I'm sorry. I'm an everyman, so I don't know much about what's
Joe
going
Sixpack.
On, but what's... What are the Protectobots? Where did they come from? I'm confused. Lots of weird stuff.
I think it's kind of a mystery. We don't know their origin. They aren't given a proper origin story. And I don't. Hopefully this doesn't dip too much into script deviations. If it does, maybe we'll pick up the slack later.
Go ahead.
But basically, there were toys to sell. Mm-hmm. But it took too long to write the profiles and get them over to the cartoon writing team. Yep. And so, but they needed to force them in here because they had to advertise them.
Were there real Protectobots?
Yes.
Like toys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Defensor.
That's
yeah,
the whole point. Yeah.
That. Yeah. The reason they're here is because of new toys.
Right. Oh. So they weren't originally in this episode. They were hastily jammed in.
Okay.
Because.
Okay.
Because capitalism.
Gotcha. Yeah.
They're like, we need you to sell these toys. Yeah, but
I mean, all this whole show is because capitalism.
It's true.
But the awkward way in which they're placed in this episode is is extra because of capitalism.
It is because, like, the episodes were all written already and in production. And then Hasbro was like, oh, but we have these toys. And that's why Defensor and the Protectobots don't have their own origin story. All the other combiners do.
Okay.
And it's because, like, yeah, they're like, but we only have three more episodes in season two, and they're all written. And they're like, but maybe if you want to just put them in there.
Maybe you should put them in there.
Yeah.
Do they exist in season three?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
They're all,
I don't know how pivotal they are. I know
they're in the
Rage
Virus.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know they're in the Return of Optimus Prime. I don't know if they have any spotlights. Or how often I always think of Defensor as the analog to the Combaticons. Like if you think about the rivalries, I always think of Superion and Menasor and Defensor and Bruticus.
And I would posit,
but I don't know
if
that's
accurate.
We're
given like what 7 fucking episodes with the Aerial Bots. Like the Protectobots are so much more interesting than the Aerial Bots, and they get nothing.
I don't know if that's true.
What? Well, the Aerial Bots could not be more boring, so anybody's better.
They're boring. They're just
they are boring. Douches. They're awful. Yes, exactly. Like, the Protectobots, theoretically, the whole, it's in their fucking name. They're to protect people, and the Aerial Bots are like, I hate humans. Like, I hate the Aerial Bots.
I think you've made that clear over the course.
Have I not?
The last
I want to make 20 sure.
episodes.
Okay, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Transition to Autobot base. Perceptor is giving Spike an astronomy lesson. Sun, moon, stars, quasars.
Magnifying, not magnifying.
Well, even better, magnifying through a screen.
I wrote this down.
Oh, yeah.
It would just be pixels.
Yeah.
Oh, magnifying through a screen. I see what you're saying. That's a different take on your problem. Because mine was like, we have to have Aaron's patented response where he is incensed by the fact Perceptor isn't literally a microscope.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He's like magnifying instead of microfying.
Well, magnifying is what he... It's all magnifying. It's just about, are you making small things bigger or big things that are far away closer
he's
to
magnifying,
you?
Though, through a screen, yeah.
But, it's yeah, the main problem
it
with
is
this...
True, through, I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
He's looking at a screen. What if he was magnifying through the screen, you would ultimately just see the mosaic of pixels,
yeah,
I guess.
That's true.
The actual mechanics,
like, okay,
of the screen.
I'll actually give this to you. That does not make any fucking sense at all.
But maybe the ARC's screen is that
Teletran 1?
It's like he got way better than 4K.
Yeah, it's like...
he got that 5K.
It's everything.
Yeah, Caleb, you ruined it. I was going to say sun, moon, stars, quasars, motherfuckers sound like Elroy Jackson. That's an Ice Cube Boys in the Hood reference.
I'm sorry.
So perfect.
I'm sorry, dude.
You fucking dick,
so
Caleb.
Sad.
I'm sorry.
But
I really am.
The other thing that is really strange about this sequence is take away the whole pixel thing, and maybe he's really looking into space. But then by the view that we think we're seeing through Spike's eye... We see Starscream flailing around in space and Shockwave in gun mode flailing, and they just bonk into each other. I don't know if Spike is supposed to, if it's just supposed to be an artful transition. But I mean, we never see in the episode. Spike never mentions. You wouldn't believe what I fucking saw.
I have.
Is he seeing this?
Conservatively. We could talk about this for like 3 hours, like, because I rewatched this and I thought about it too much, but yes, like, okay, ooh. First of all, we can't get too deep into it, but Perceptor and Spike are talking about what the universe means and whether it's infinite.
Yeah,
the observable universe is finite and expanding. We can see about 46.5 billion light years in every direction. Doesn't matter. Spike says, I'd hate to imagine a real star shooting into the Earth, which is some pretty on the point, on the nose, like foreshadowing.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Now, yes, what the fuck? Starscream and Shockwave just happened to collide in space, but it the way it does transition, it makes you feel like Spike and Perceptor are seeing this in real time.
Well, here's why. Sure. Here's what I'm going to argue that Spike is seeing this because we see the vignette
yes.
of the telescope
it looks
agree.
Like,
as
like a lens.
Right. It's the vignette. And we see, and because he at least sees, I'm just now analyzing this, he at least sees Shockwave flying through space.
Right.
He may not see the bonking, but I'd say seeing Shockwave flipping through space would be enough of a tale to tell.
It is. It's just a terrible way. The way they animated it is just makes it very confusing and bad.
It's weird.
Also, though, Shockwave and Starscream happening to bump into each other is fucking ludicrous.
Those are good odds.
It's one in a gazillion.
Those are good odds, right?
I mean, obviously the odds are 100% because it happened, but it's like trying to shoot a bullet and knocking it down with a rock. Like, yeah. There's no way. Whatever. I mean, I do love we get this animation that we're going to see in a minute with Shockwave on top. Like riding Starscream.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff. First we see him. He's just gently holding onto Starscream's nose cone.
Yeah,
there's a lot of phallic shit happening here.
I was alarmed by the fact that they collided, but that kind of all goes to the wayside with what happens next.
So Starscream, and
they're just standing. They're standing in space.
They just have a conversation.
They're standing in space.
Yeah. The summary of the conversation is, we need to go take Cybertron back over.
Yeah, Starscream is basically like, I'm that close to Cybertron. Right. And Shockwave's like, yeah, let's go, bro.
Yeah, show me the way.
He mentions the Combaticons have taken over, and they're going to reclaim it. And then Shockwave straddles Starscream. A, it's funny because he's riding Starscream like a horse.
Yeah.
And B, it's funny because it also kind of looks like a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's teamwork, though. So Shockwave knows where Cybertron is.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yes, that's right. My wife says that a lot.
Ooh, I hope she never says it again.
Yeah, me too.
Only Ryan can say it sarcastically.
It's
right now.
Yes.
That's because I'm funny.
I'm fine with it.
And edgy.
So there they go. We have our gif.
That reminds me. We never gift the Megatron fucking...
No, button. Man. I was, like, sick.
Sick
last week.
Yeah. Oh, were you? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A little bit. That's why he wasn't texting.
There was some flu that went through.
I got blasted the week prior.
I'm hanging in there. I take vitamins. And Invectromectin.
Yeah,
Invectromectin.
You taking that horse shit?
Yeah.
I have things to say about that. It's not just a horse medication. But it is not a COVID medication.
Is this where you want to talk about it? Is this your venue?
See, I've been listening to Joe Rogan a lot.
You know what? We talked about it last episode, but like Wes and I were watching this. I don't know what YouTube video it was necessarily, but like if you know how on like Twitter you can do those bubbles where it's like these are the people who like are most related to me or like you know the you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, you know what you're talking about.
Do you? Know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. Ryan knows what I'm talking about.
Are you talking about like the link Joe Rogan has to the alt-right?
Yes.
Like the bubble of like...
Like okay, there's a huge... Goes,
like, that graphic is like 5 years old at this point. But well, like to Jordan Peterson and to Dave Rubin and all the like the even worse knuckleheads. Like what we were just talking about. Ben Shapiro earlier.
Yeah.
Like he's in that orbit as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying it's like not related.
But guys, he... said he was going to vote for Bernie Sanders. No, I don't know if we actually said this on air, but we were talking about the Tim Heidecker thing. The Tim Heidecker thing is amazing because I think it captures the nuance of Joe. Like they do like Joe Rogan and make fun of him on SNL and make horse medication jokes and all that kind of shit. But it just feels so toothless because there's actually a lot of dishonesty to the, yes, you should make fun of Joe Rogan for bringing up ivermectin. We should stop trying to like news organizations should stop cartoonishly trying to just talk about it as horse medication when there's a lot more nuance to it than that. But that's why the Tim Heidecker thing is so perfect because it is such a good satire of Joe Rogan and his guests. It's like but it's also really dry, and it's kind of, it can be a hard listen if you're not like, for it to be funny, you almost have to have been a fan of Joe Rogan.
That's the strange thing about like Tim Heidecker in particular, is he's like so specific of like, it's almost a crazy amount of like nerd humor. Mm-hmm. Like you have to really be like you just have to really understand, I guess. I don't know how to put it, but yeah.
I wasn't up on this until now, until after I saw the Joe Rogan thing. I just started deep diving a little bit into the YouTube presence. He has a stand-up special that he did like maybe 4 years ago. Like, it's a satire of just really bad over-the-hill comedians that have more confidence than talent.
Yes.
I thought it just came out because there's been Jim Brewer's been making the headlines lately. You guys remember Jim Brewer?
I do.
Like, SNL.
That sleepy-eyed man.
He sucks. Like, he is one of the worst comedians.
He makes he's a funny sheep man.
But... So he's been doing comedy tours lately and been making the news in the conservative circles, and his comedy is just it's not even comedy. It's just really stupid sound effects.
It's the cancel culture and comedy.
The Tim Heidecker's special, I don't know if he intended or if Jim Brewer was inspiration for that, but he is doing Jim Brewer's routine. He's basically just doing Jim Brewer's routine, and it is. Oh, God, it's excellent. It's just excellent. So, shout out to Tim Heidecker.
Hey, we all love you, Tim Heidecker.
We'll put you on the show.
We probably legitimately could get him on the show.
I used to like Bill Cosby a lot, and it's just like, nothing's...
Bill Cosby's comedy is still good. Yeah. Like, it is, but like, if you just got into Bill Cosby, that's a problem.
I'm surprised he's not on the tour.
That's like
Jim Brewer.
I guess it's like, I like Michael Jackson's music a lot, and I will still listen to Michael Jackson's music.
You can like, yeah, again, like, I don't feel like, you don't have to dislike someone's art because they're a terrible person.
Right.
That's just my personal perspective.
No, I agree.
Like, whatever, but...
No, I think Nazis had really impressive uniforms.
They made this shit look good.
Yeah, they did.
They're sharp.
My criticism of Dave Chappelle, just from a comedy fan, his takes are ill-informed. He doesn't understand trans. All people that have criticisms of trans stuff just don't understand the science. They say that other people don't understand the science. And the fact is, they don't. They haven't looked into it. If they had looked into it, they wouldn't have the takes they have.
And a lot of the problem is, I don't know the problem, but a lot of it is like a victim of being of your own success, where you're like in a vacuum.
He's in the Rogan bubble along with everybody. Like, it's a similar bubble. And it's a bubble that they feel like for some reason they're beyond criticism because they have the professional experience they have, and also because maybe they are part of a historically oppressed group.
What's sad to me is, like, I championed them because I thought they were beyond a bubble. And then I'm like, fuck, they're still captive of a bubble. And then I'm like, okay, I really need to be self. I need to try to be self-aware of what bubbles am I in. Then,
yeah,
absolutely. It must be really. I can see, like, obviously, really hard to get out of a bubble. And what's the best practice to be aware of your bubble? And obviously that comes with self-criticism, self-awareness, and admitting that you are prone to being in a bubble. And self-analysis.
We just have to recognize that we have bias.
Everybody does. And it's true. And it, like, I'm severely guilty of this. Like, thinking you know. Thank you. Thinking you know what you think you know. Like, it's just like being aggressively because, like, I'm smart, so I must know everything about everything. I know something about a life I've never led.
I'm sure that celebrity is also really, like, you've got to be really careful when you're a celebrity, when you're getting praised, and when you're, like, I'm sure that it's easy to fall. Well, I should say at anyone's level. I shouldn't say just because you're a celebrity, but at all levels, it's easy to fall victim to being in a bubble and not being aware of it.
Yep.
And well, the problem, quote unquote problem, these people think they have is criticism has now been democratized. There was a time when if you had a problem with Dave Chappelle's take, he would never have to hear about it. There wouldn't be this massive place where all the criticism exists and you could tap into that and feel that. And I'm sure it sucks to feel that. Even though I think he's wrong, I'm sure it sucks to feel that criticism, but that is what it is.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, and don't act like you're oppressed. You're rich and powerful and famous.
Stop acting like
the world is taking something from
you. It's true. But I mean, I get the perspective of like, yeah, being a black man is super hard, but like, it doesn't mean that's the only take. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't mean that means you get to have
carte blanche.
Yeah. To like say whatever you want about another person's life that you have no fucking idea what they experience.
He's not just a black man. He's a rich black man
now.
So I mean, I'm sure he had it tough, but the lowest people on the ladder of any oppressive structure are poor people. So he's doing way better than most people.
Poor people and, of color, women. Like, yeah.
Basically, his statement is, "Wah, people are yelling at me, and look, I had a trans friend, and she died, so I'm not really transphobic, and also, black people have had it worse." Like, just this reductive...
Yeah.
So, Dave is still... I mean,
it's
still
a big thumbs down on Dave Chappelle.
I wish I had... Yeah. I wish I had
three
hands.
I think
that
he's smart enough.
So, there's a what movie is that?
Well, no, it's Dave Chappelle's show.
Yeah, that's.
I wish I had four hands. So I give four thumbs down.
Because I give those titties.
That's a Rick James.
I mean, but that shit's still funny.
Yeah, no one is safe from falling victim to that mindset, and everyone needs to try to practice some sort of like criticism, constructive criticism. Otherwise, you're always, the thing is, you are going to fall victim to it.
Yeah,
continually.
Everybody has prejudices.
Yeah.
And everybody has biases.
And you need
just be aware of it.
Yeah.
And like, try to examine it.
Accept it. So,
it doesn't make you a bad person unless you refuse to examine it.
And I don't think Starscream is accepting that he, you know, is... not necessarily deserved to be leader of the Decepticons.
Oh, that's right. Starscream and Shockwave, the Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan of the Transformers. Actually, that's not a good metaphor at all. One of them is overly cocky.
Shockwave's like a Stephen Wright.
That's a little closer.
Yeah. Starscream...
He's the Chris Latta of the Transformers universe.
Well, yeah, I guess that's way on the nose.
Yeah.
But yeah, sure, yep, well played. Well played.
They're back at Cybertron. They're on top of a dome. Oh, no, they're not on top of a dome. Some Constructicons are on top of a dome.
No. Combaticons.
Oh, my God. Despite the advancement of Decepticon technology, Onslaught has got the goods to harness this tech to enact the Constructicons' revenge. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to direct the movement of the planet Earth and send it into the sun, where full circle, Spike was right.
I mean, so Onslaught says, "I can direct the movement of the planet Earth and send it on a direct course into the sun." Like, really? Like, you can do that with the space bridge? I mean, that's... So he can do this, like, with the space bridge. I mean, that's very impressive and stupid. Like... I'm starting to think that maybe Larry Strauss, his heart isn't into writing good Transformer stories, mostly because he kind of straight up said it. So I think I have this note later, but you're moving the planet Earth into the sun with the space bridge. Do you know how much power that must take? And so the idea that Cybertron has a power problem is not real.
Right. I would assume a space bridge itself, aside from...
You know what?
It.
For sure.
But I also get the feeling that these guys are pretty smart, and maybe he just has some technical know-how that is unique to him.
Onslaught.
Yeah, Onslaught. Thank you. He takes off his cannon backpack.
Yep.
And uses it to program it. So maybe he's just an engineering wizard, and part of that is knowing how to efficiently use whatever energy is available.
Maybe.
To do this. And the other guys are just on
lunch. Yeah. Is blast off and what is that brawl? Yeah, they're sitting and talking about whatever.
Just some shit. Well, they're talking about how smart Onslaught is. All right, we've got the Insecticon infested city, the Protectobots. They've jammed all the humans they can in their chassis.
The Insecticon clones really are the G.I. Joe like bats of the Transformers world, like where if you want to like murder a bunch of things.
Right.
Make them robots, or
although not many of them get murdered in this episode, really.
A lot of them get exploded.
Do they?
In a little bit. Maybe I'm ahead of it, but
I like all these people in the car.
Yeah, I love Santa Claus in the car.
And we're looking at Streetwise pulling up on a dead body. There's five people in there. They're ludicrously drawn. It's not a dead body though. They're gonna get it loaded up on first aid and. And I'm sure everything's all right here, folks. Nothing
hey, move
see.
His spine around a bunch. God damn. He grabbed him so aggressively.
On his makeshift skis.
I did like the skis where I'm like, I'll pull this human into my van.
They get all the humans out of the town, so now the Autobots can just blast at will, which they do. So
yeah.
You're right, Ryan. I'm sorry I questioned you.
Oh, well... The blasting
driving around the
Autobots with guns
shooting
out
all willy nilly.
Oh man, I have a lot of things here. Okay,
yep,
so
let's pause.
We're wasting good ammo on these creeps. I'd like to just squash a few of them.
Yeah, so that we're shown that while Power Glide flies in, which you're right, Aaron. It is Michael Bell. It's Prowl.
Yeah,
saying that, but we don't see Prowl, so it. It's very confusing because it seems like Power Glide should be speaking here, which is also confusing because then Power Glide lands and Spike and fucking Perceptor get out.
You know, I'd have to jump ahead. I don't remember, but I think Michael Bell voices one or two of the Protectobots. Well, no, Prowl's right there.
Yeah, Prowl speaks later, too.
Well, then I guess it's just bad editing.
Yeah, it is. It's very confusing.
Power Glide's not here to kill Insecticons. He's here to deliver a message.
Right. It basically comes down to it's just shot, edited, and written poorly. And guess what? Don't expect it to get any better, audience, because it does not.
Power Glide, Spike, and Perceptor show up, mm-hmm. and they let the team know that Cybertron is sending the Earth to the sun. So we got fuck this current mission. We got to get to the space bridge at once.
Cybertron's signals have altered Earth's orbit and is sending it into the sun. Ugh. I fucking hate it. Like, it's so boring.
It's pretty lame.
It also made me feel like, I don't know why I went down this path, just like how corporations and governments, like, don't even, I don't know why I even made this note. What is this? Oh, that was about how Cybertron does not have an energy crisis and you're just using it poorly. And I was like, that made me feel too real. I fell down this. I made a whole bunch of notes about how capitalism's awful. And that's where I was like talking about moving out of the country because like, hey, you can recycle, but it doesn't matter as a person because Amazon doesn't recycle or pay anything. It just makes me feel bad.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, that was not articulate or like meaningful in any way, but I'm upset.
The corporatocracy that we live in is depressing.
It is.
But I'm more depressed by the growth of fascism in this country.
Yeah.
I think it's new, it's real, and the Republican Party enables it. And
yeah,
that's what makes me want to get out of the country more.
Yeah, that's way worse, for sure. I agree.
The German fascists they had socialist in the name of their party, but the capitalists fell in line pretty quickly in Germany, and they all figured it out and worked together. And I'm sure the quote-unquote populist right will, they'll figure out a way to make the corporations get on board if they manage to take over this country.
Yeah, this is, it just, every time I look into something, it gets too real, and I'm like, man, I just am so sad.
Autopod Decepticast. This is what you guys came for.
This is, you come for the Transformers, you stay for the socialism? I don't know what
I'm surprised that we haven't gotten the one-star review yet that says, used to love these guys, then they got political.
Exactly, yeah. Keep the politics out of my Transformers.
This is an interesting... I kind of like this scene, but it is the beginning of a lot of confusion.
Mm-hmm. It is.
We go to the space bridge. Prime shows up at the space bridge. It's kind of a cool action sequence.
Yeah.
He bobs and weaves from rock to rock. He avoids Megatron's fusion cannon fire. He pops some shots of his own. He's doing some slick somersaults and poking up from behind some rocks. And he's too late, though. I think, if I remember correctly, Megatron orders Shrapnel keep Prime from being able to take over the space bridge. I think he explicitly says, take the control panel, right?
Yeah, and then later he's like, why'd you take the control panel?
Yeah, let me hear what he says, because this is meaningful.
Shrapnel, stop him!
Oh, he just says stop him.
All right, he just says stop. All right, I guess.
But, I mean, there, so
I don't think that makes up for all the confusion.
No,
though,
it does not. But, like, also you're upset that, like, Shrapnel took, his own initiative.
Right. So by stop him, Shrapnel goes up to the controls, uses his mandibles to kind of slice him off the space bridge, and then does what Insecticons do this episode, which is just dig underground
I will
and run
say,
away.
It's a great, like... thing. Like I don't remember this being a thing of the Insecticons burrowing, but
I
it's
don't
like
think they do it.
I don't either, but it's like it actually is a pretty effective method of getting away.
It's all they do. Prime is pretty much like fuck.
Oh no.
And we go to commercial.
Oh god.
You know, the Autobots could have taken Omega Supreme to Cybertron.
Well, I have this note too. I guess Cosmos and Omega Supreme were on PTO. Because,
right.
Like, we can't get to Cybertron any other way except the space bridge.
Caleb and I were talking about this earlier. You got to take your PTO.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't use it or lose it, man.
Yeah. And it doesn't carry over for
unless
all of us.
Unless it does.
Unless
but
it
then,
does.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, you know, you better take it.
Yeah.
Aaron, and they're taking it.
Aaron. Yeah. Aaron, take your PTO, man.
I'll take my PTO, goddammit.
Come on.
Back from commercial. We're on Cybertron. The Combaticons' revenge is going quite well. Cybertron is under their control. Earth is headed towards the sun. Oh, fuck, we're under attack.
The Combaticons are so horny to fight these space crabs.
Some wacky, tentacle crab-looking robots. They show up out of nowhere. I mean, I could tell right away they weren't real.
Right. They're not even...
Based on the fact that they shot at them and exploded
nothing
around
happened.
Them and nothing happened.
They're dumb.
And they're transparent. Or I would say they're opaque, I suppose.
They probably have some...
I think it's funny because Blastoff's main personality quirk seems to be talking about how is awesome his ionic blaster gun is.
You can see they have some PTSD from, you know,
the
Guadalcanal.
Oh, you think it carries over in their bodies?
Yeah, I think somehow they've got, you know, the reason that they're so into fighting these things is because they have some trauma.
Thetans.
Yeah, they have some
trauma.
To bring it back to...
They have some trauma.
Scientology.
Yeah.
They just need to pay a few hundred thousand dollars.
Did you read Dianetics? It's wonderful.
Is that Bane?
Bane?
L. Ron Hubbard kind of sounded like that.
Bane strikes me as a guy that would be into Scientology.
Do you guys remember the commercials for Dianetics as a kid?
No.
I do.
I don't.
TV.
I remember the volcano.
Yes.
I thought it was a Christian book when I was a kid. I didn't know.
I did too.
That's what they want you to think. Shame on them for taking advantage of the Christianity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out those attackers are but apparitions controlled by Shockwave and Starscream.
Duh.
This fucking thing where, okay. Starscream and Shockwave are making these holograms, which, you know, we saw at the beginning of the episode. This is like Mad Libs or like a terrible improv game where they're like, okay, what should Shockwave project next? I think I heard gargoyles. Like, he makes gargoyles. What is...
What frame of reference is that for Transformers to be scared
exactly,
of?
Like, okay, could we... I think I heard gargoyles. No, I shot a big, giant dildo. I think I heard gargoyles. We're going to project gargoyles.
Is this, like, fielding and like a suggestion from an audience?
Yes, it's an improv game.
Okay. But we're going to go ahead and do gargoyles.
This episode feels very horny to me.
Yeah.
Everything's feels horny.
You shush your sexy mouth.
Yeah.
And
shush your horny
mouth.
So,
yeah, as alluded, the holograms are morphed from space crabs to demons. The Combaticons, they're distracted. So it's a good opportunity for Starscream and Shockwave to head to the teleport chamber. The space bridge receiver has been manipulated. Earth is headed to the sun. Megatron, Autobots, everyone is going to burn up. Shockwave wants to reverse the effect, but Starscream ain't having that shit. He blasts Shockwave unconscious and marvels at the Combaticons' effort. He's pretty impressed.
I got to say, I liked the last episode, but this whole story arc with Starscream being obsessed with being named leader, I'm just getting tired. At this point, when I was watching this, I'm just so fucking tired.
Yeah.
It's like right now, okay, in the real world, like I'm watching Dallas, and I think I'm on season 12 right now, and there was a 4-story arc with JR being on a chain gang. And I'm like, this is so fucking boring. I fucking hate this. And it's just almost like the writers have fell in love with this idea. And I'm like, I'm bored. You're boring me. I'm sorry. Maybe this is just about me.
Well, I haven't seen it, so it's like you have to tell us.
No, I'm just saying, like, this episode's boring.
Like, right. It's like they're whipping a dead horse.
Well, because it's Starscream for the 80th time. Well, this is actually, it's really a Combaticons episode. The Starscream stuff is tertiary.
It just feels like the whole episode is filler. Like, it feels like all, like, packing peanuts.
I think, like, this goes back to my thing, like, the movie is under production or has closed production or it's at a certain point in its production that these episodes are filler and they're just kind of pushing along.
Yeah, maybe.
Just kind of getting wrapping shit. They're like wrapping shit up to get ready for the movie. Like they're just kind of done.
Yeah.
And maybe it makes sense that they're still planting that seed of Starscream wanting to be the leader because that plays a bit of a role in the movie.
That's fair.
If only there was like some people that could like take whatever happened between this and the movie and made sense of it.
That's a good point. There's like 20 years between 1985 and
what happened in those years. Where are the stories?
You think anybody's ever done anything with that kind
Let's
of content?
Let's do it. It's called Transformers Recalculated.
Oh, yeah. Guys, check out Transformers Reanimated.
I guess I'm just like,
I get how it's like, what else can, like, does Starscream have a personality other than being like kind of whiny and wanting to take over the Decepticons?
It's true. Well,
but he is in a position here where that could happen for him.
Yeah, I guess, again, to like bring it into like this just all being filler, like what we just seen, Starscream asks Shockwave to show him how to use this holo projector, and Shockwave's like, nah. But then Swindle, who's not the brightest bulb in anything, figures it out, and we'll see in just a second. He pushes two buttons and figures out how to use it.
Sure.
So I'm like, what the fuck is the point of even that line? Like, cut it.
Yeah. Season two, man.
Coming to a close.
You're just saying words. Like,
yeah, I mean, he blasts Shockwave. Shockwave is unconscious. Starscream is, for now, we're going to let this Earth-Sun thing happen. The Autobots are on the hunt for the space bridge controls. They are cicada-ing all about the space bridge. The Prowl claims to have found it, and he blasts a hole in the Earth and pulls out A busted old TV. Prowl.
First of all, I mean, not to be talking too much about being horny, but, like, the Autobots are using their headlight titties to try to find...
Headlight titties.
Is that what's creating the cicada?
Have that insectile, like, shuddery sound. Yep.
Over here, Prime. I found it.
There it is. It's headlight. Stupid.
I get we didn't see Megatron retreat the site.
Right.
So, but I guess he did. And now he's watching from afar, and he finds this whole situation amusing. The thing is, okay, again, this goes to the confusing nature of this episode. The Insecticon shrapnel cut the thing off and ran away.
Yep.
Megatron's watching these guys search for it, and he thinks that's funny. He knows they're searching for that.
Yep.
Because he has to know that shrapnel did that.
Yeah. And he's like, ha, they found a broken thing.
Right. That's when Megatron... So we're going to come back to that here in a second.
Yeah.
That's when Megatron gets a call from Starscream, and who basically says, you got to promote me to Decepticon leader, or else I'm going to let Earth with you on it fly into the sun.
Why does he even have to say any of that? Like, why not just let it happen?
Yeah, if it happens, he's the leader of the Decepticons.
Exactly.
But maybe it's because he doesn't have an army if that happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just trying to make it make sense.
I understand. It's a cool office.
It is. It's pretty good. IKEA. IKEA office wear on Cybertron. Megatron, he doesn't really like the idea.
He's not into it. He does have a tit microphone.
It's all about that.
Sorry, I keep saying tits.
The Combaticons keep firing at the ghosts, but Swindle eventually discovers that someone is fucking with them, and he shuts off the machine that's creating the illusions.
Which is, apparently is just a pedestal you can move around.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, this ain't real. Beep boop.
Whoosh. Back to the confusing stuff.
Okay.
Megatron.
It's all been crystal clear to this
flies
far.
Closer to the space. Like, he flies to the space bridge. So, in the scene just prior to this,
the Autobots
are walking around here.
Yep.
The Autobots haven't left, as far as we know. They're still trying to figure out the space bridge thing. They're still trying to find the control.
You know what? That's something I didn't even think about. Yeah, where are they?
But Megatron flies over to the same area where the Autobots are, and it's at this point he just now
he's
acts
just
like
mad. Yeah.
He sees the controls and they're not there, and he's like, where did those go?
It's like
the Insecticons must have taken those.
It's like nobody has the ability to transform anything into long-term memory.
Like, he actually says, so that's what the Autobots were looking for. So that means in the previous scene, he was just standing back there watching them walk around like buffoons. He had no clue. He commands the Coneheads to go find the Insecticons.
I will say by this point, when in making my notes, I had emotionally completely checked out. Like, I was like,
I don't blame you. There's nothing going on here.
No.
It's everything and nothing. Is going on here.
Exactly. There's too many things going on that don't mean anything.
We're going to go to Cybertron. Starscream is plotting in his command chair. Shockwave regains consciousness and fires on Starscream.
Yeah.
He serves only Megatron. Starscream's like, you can go to Earth and die with him, but they blast each other until the Combaticons show up and take them both prisoner. Anything to say about that?
No, I just...
All right, we're going back to Earth.
Yep.
Farmer Bob here.
Got anything to say about Earth, Ryan?
No more water.
I will say I don't understand how the water underneath the ground has evaporated.
So hot.
So Earth is falling into the sun, which is getting hotter. So, like, this farmer on this land, his well has dried up, and then his crops catch fire.
I guess climate change is real. Shouldn't have voted for Trump.
Israel. And then, the protective lots show up to help.
Yeah, the first responders. Fuck.
What? Why are you maligning first responders? I don't understand.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sorry.
He's just
it's been a long day
narrating through the mind's eye of this farmer.
The Earth Falling into the Sun thing did make me want to go and watch the far superior, like, Twilight Zone episode, The Midnight Sun. Do you guys know this episode? You know the Twilight Zone?
What is it?
Well, there's no Henry twist at the end, but it's about the Earth falling into the sun and like they're slowly burning, and then it turns out, spoiler for this 70-year-old episode, it's a fever dream by a woman, and it turns out the sun, like the Earth is falling away from the sun and everything's freezing.
Oh shit! Fuck.
It's great. It's a great episode. Watch it.
This reminded me of it like Interstellar, even though it's not, the Earth wasn't falling into the sun in Interstellar, but there was crops that were burning up and climate change and all that shit.
I didn't see it.
You haven't seen Interstellar?
No.
Oh, it's a really.
I feel like I'd hate it.
It's a real downer.
I just feel like it feels like a movie where I'd be mad about the physics.
You can feel what you want about things that you haven't seen.
Thank
that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, I have opinions.
You have opinions. Yeah.
About things I have no knowledge.
I'm trying to remember, was it climate change that causes the blight that takes place globally?
Yes.
Do you think I'd like it? That's an honest question.
Oh God! I don't know what you. It's,
I mean,
you'd
have.
You
I don't know if there's any movie that you would have problems with the physics.
You just asked me if you think you'd. Wow, that's a hard question to answer because I don't. These days, I don't know.
You're
what,
like, I don't know what you'd
is
like.
It, is this a trick question?
It's not. It's a genuine question.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh God, it's so hard to think if you'd like it
okay.
or not because I don't
it.
Know what
I'll
you like
it.
And don't like.
I mean, it's a Christopher Nolan movie. So if you're into Christopher Nolan at all, maybe you'd like it.
I'll tell you what. I do think you'd like it.
Okay.
And I think you should pay, but I think you should pay particular attention to the robot that assists him in the movie. That's
okay.
For me, that character is particularly intriguing to me.
Isn't there a couple robots? Like, don't they have a...
There's one in particular that
You're
like,
talking about those obelisky things?
Okay. That is a fascinating character in the movie. I think you should watch it and pay particular attention to that character, and also watch it and be ready to be bummed the fuck out. But
I'm fine. I'm ready to be bummed out all the time.
Okay, then I liked the movie.
It's constantly intense.
Yeah,
like
but it,
a Nolan movie.
But from a science fiction standpoint, it's fascinating.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
I'm sure that there's a YouTube video of Neil deGrasse Tyson or somebody, some spacehead celebrity, tearing apart physics or whatever.
Right.
But I still think that that no, like they knew when you're dealing with interstellar travel and time.
I'm not
when you're dealing
anymore.
With that, they're doing their homework to the best of their extent.
Okay.
Is
okay.
perfect.
Yeah,
I think that maybe it isn't. Like, what does nobody really knows the nature of what would happen?
It's
if
true.
You came close to a
my
black
whole
hole.
Thing is like you always get one big cheat. Like that's why like Star Trek, I don't care. Like it's faster than light travel. That's the cheat you get. Like you get that cheat, but everything else better make sense.
All right, so
I like it.
So watch it. I like it too. Watch it and then let us know what you think.
Okay.
We'll talk about it on a
stay tuned, listeners.
Yeah.
If this remains
so
in the
this,
air.
And then we'll talk about Dunkirk.
So this absolutely. I love that movie.
I love that movie too.
Yeah. So watch that movie. I just this whole scene just reminds me of Interstellar. That's
okay.
it. That's all.
It's not a spoiler on Interstellar. The impetus for even looking to try and find other home worlds is because Earth is all fucked up. And
we should do it now because it is all fucked up.
Yeah. It is true.
That's why I'm trying to get to an island somewhere where I can try
that's
to.
That's why I'm going to the moon.
The only thing they could grow is corn. If
that
corn is the only crop that's hardy.
Yes,
enough.
That's kind of
to,
so you'll like this movie, Ryan.
Oh God!
By like, I mean
you'll like being depressed
by
this movie.
By like, I guess mean agree.
Yeah,
but Michael Caine's in it.
So's John Lithgow. So's John Lithgow.
I love John Lithgow.
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
The Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. All right.
I guess I'll go to a new state.
I guess I'm gonna
go to a new star.
I guess I'm gonna go to a new planet.
You know what I like about new stars? I get older, they stay the same.
You
age.
Say that. You say that, and you should watch this movie when you say they get older and he stays the same age. You should fucking watch this movie.
That should have been the tagline.
That
for the
should
movie.
Be the fucking tagline. Interstellar. Matthew McConaughey. They get older, I stay the same age. It's Fuck. Like a flip. It's a flip.
Holy shit.
Wow.
That is an Inception level.
That's fucking crazy.
All right.
We gotta capitalize on that like immediately. I'm gonna post it on Twitter right now. Okay, you keep talking.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
Let's blow through the rest of this.
We're so close. I know we're getting goddamn close here. We're on Earth. Water's evaporating. Shit's on fire. The protective bots work to help, but it's a mighty struggle. You got Inferno, Red Alert. All the fire-based Autobots are here to try and help. We haven't seen him in a while.
Red Alert.
That's
this is the last
crazy.
Episode he's in. Conspiracy. I do like that part where Blades lowers his platform to help people in, but the way that it's shot, it looks like it just lands and squishes them.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever.
I know.
We find ourselves in a parking garage.
Everything about this episode should be tagged with whatever.
We're in a parking garage. It happens to be infested with our three favorite bug bots. They're discovered by Megatron, who demands the control panel. And then the Autobots arrive, too. And everybody's just kind of chilling at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Spike walks in casually in front of Megatron. There's the control panel, but... The Insecticons have chewed it all up, and we go to commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is animated pretty well.
This episode, I think the animation is pretty good. Like, it's way better than the last episode, which is bad.
Character models are on point, except for that weird Ratchet moment that I think we slid past earlier.
We did. We totally bypassed it, but yeah. Yeah, you're right.
By the way, I checked Reddit, and like the whole Matthew McConaughey... They get older. I stay the same age. Yeah, they figured that out years ago.
They got ahead of us.
Yeah,
they got ahead of
no
a thing
surprise.
That happened.
I'd be shocked
8 years ago.
I'd be shocked if they hadn't figured that out. But anyway, I digress.
Thanks.
Nice try, Caleb.
I had to check it out first before I posted it. I was like, no, surely someone else is
like, look at this boomer over here. Yeah, yeah. Just
I'm not a
Interstellar.
Fucking boomer. Gen X forever.
Hey, if you're a zoomer, everyone else is a boomer.
Yeah. You know what? If you want to forget about Gen X, do it. I don't want to be.
Nobody thinks about Gen X. It's good. A very small generation.
Yeah. Forget about me. Forget about us. I don't care.
We don't matter.
No, just I want to stake below the radar on that. Fuck you all.
Wow.
Obama was the first Gen X president.
Really?
And I guess the only one so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next.
Play. And I guess he's the only one you need.
All right.
The next one will probably be Marjorie Taylor Greene. What is she, millennial or something? I don't know.
Is she that young?
I don't know.
My girlfriend's a millennial.
Maybe she'll be president.
We're barely Gen X.
Was that like a brag or something, Ryan?
No, I'm just saying.
Ryan's
like,
got a young ass girlfriend.
No, I don't.
All right. There you go. Well, robbing the cradle, huh?
Well, more like she's robbing the grave.
Yeah. Yeah. Every day.
Every day.
We are off the rails. I don't think
I
we're even that
late
drunk.
Episodes.
We come back from commercial. The bugs look so guilty.
Well, they look like and then they just drop the thing
and dig under the ground. they're out of the garage. Perceptor examines the control panel. Mm-hmm. It's repairable, but we'll need parts.
He's being a microscope, Aaron.
I know. He probably didn't need to be.
And I'm like, this point is where I'm pissed off because I'm like, oh, God damn it, Larry. You got Megatron and Optimus working together, and now you've made me care about this episode again? Fuck you. Because that's the easiest way to get me to care is Megatron and Prime working together. So, yeah, there's this control panel, and the Insecticons chewed it up. So Megatron and Prime have to use parts of their body to make it work.
and where they collaborate is Prime is, well, Prime's like, I'll only do it if Megatron does it too. But we know Prime would have just done it.
Yeah. That is funny because Prime is like, I'll donate some parts. And Megatron smiles. But then Prime is like, but only if Megatron does as well. And then he's like, no.
Yeah. Megatron hesitates. He ultimately agrees to the plan. We transition to the Protectobots. They're roaming from village to village, continuing to provide whatever relief they can.
How is there so much of this episode left?
I don't know. We're getting through it. Take off Prime's chest. Take off Megatron's chest. Here's the part where I realized Wolfman Jack was a Protectobot.
Won't they freeze in here?
No way. The temperature keeps climbing too fast outside. They'll be fine.
Is that true?
No.
Okay. I also had a note like, so what we just referenced is the Protectobots herding humans into a freezer, and they're like, no, they're not gonna freeze because the temperature's rising too fast. And I also like the idea that they just don't give a shit, like if they die or not, who cares? Because they're all gonna be dead anyway. So like.
I mean,
that's kind of zen.
Who matters where you find those bodies? It could be outside. They could be inside.
And then Rocky's in there working the body.
On some beef?
Yeah. You're breaking the ribs.
Fucking nuts. Okay, we're going to Space Bridge Town. The control panel is repaired. The foes all agree to handle this together. Autobots and Decepticons alike are transported to Cybertron.
I said this last episode, and we'll get to it in just a second, but like Bruticus, again, is a cool-looking combiner. Like, I don't think Minasaur is interesting-looking at all, and he gets a lot of airtime. I don't like Minasaur. I don't like the Stunticons. I think they're boring.
I like the Stunticons. I thought I liked the Stunticons more than the Combaticons, but now that I've gotten to see these characters and hear them talk again, I like the Combaticons.
Yeah, the Combaticons are really fucking interesting.
Yes.
Out of the space bridge, the multi-faction team of Prime, Megatron, Thundy, Warpy, Streaky, Swipey, Prowly, and Isosceles Trianglehead wander the halls until they happen upon a sniveling Starscream. He begs to be saved. After all, the Combaticons are the one that forced Starscream to threaten Megatron. Shockwave calls out these lies, however. Megatron commands somebody...
Starscream...
to deactivate the device, hurling Earth to the sun. Starscream says he'll only do it if Megatron will give up Decepticon leadership. Starscream doesn't understand the concept of leverage.
It's so dumb.
He has no leverage here. Boom! The Combaticons attack the combined group. An amazing battle ensues. The Combaticons, they make
this
some hits and take
some hits. This battle is pretty cool.
The laser fight. You've got multi-faceted laser styles in here.
I like it.
Some bomb dropping,
Prime
with two weapons.
Dual weapons, yeah.
And he falls toward, like, the animation quality of this is almost that of the commercials or the intro sequence. Like, it's really good.
It's really good.
Eventually, Prime realizes that a souped-up space bridge is what is doing the whole Earth being pulled to the sun thing, but... before we can really get into that, we got to somehow get around Bruticus, who has formed. You know, he's smashing some shit up. Mm-hmm. That's what he do.
How can we defeat him? Yeah, there is the moaning. There is the moaning.
Oh, is there?
Oh, is there moaning in this one?
There is.
Let's hear it.
Boss. Well, let's gang up on them.
Combaticons, transform to Bruticus.
Ooh, rolling the R. No grunt here. Let's do it for them.
Bruticus hates Cybertron. Bruticus hates you more.
I do like it how Bruticus makes a comment that he hates Cybertron, and that, like, oh yeah, of course he hates Cybertron because he was a fucking captain.
Prisoner.
There, captive there. Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah. It is. I'm not being sarcastic.
I agree. Yeah, no. Yeah.
In an attempt to save his hide, Starscream reveals his fail-safe. the three spots on Bruticus' back. So despite great. Animation errors, sometimes he's got the gun on his back, sometimes he doesn't. Mm-hmm. That gun on his back is that gun that is controlling the thing. So he's got it
the
right
gun,
now. He
yes,
won't have it in a little bit.
On Onslaught's back is like a component of what is the space bridge yes. making the Earth fall toward the sun.
Right. And in some animation cells, he has it on his back still.
Yeah.
But then in others, he doesn't. It's like, oh yeah, that's not supposed to be here.
That guy's holding a cannon right to his face.
It's also just like, oh, there are three dots. Oh, we've got like a Deus Ex Doctina.
Well done.
I don't know if it was, but I'm
like, I don't think it was either, but it's so stupid. It's because it just comes out of nowhere.
Megatron takes a shot, but gets grabbed up for the squeezing. Prime moves in behind, and he takes the shot, and he neutralizes Bruticus.
Mm-hmm. This is where the whenever Prime knocks Bruticus down, we get the moaning.
I hope Starscream was telling the truth.
Okay. Okay.
All right. We got it.
Yep. Nailed it. Great.
The team rushes to the control panel and reverse Earth's course to the sun.
We see Sideswipe run into this control room, and the screen says, change of direction? Question mark. Like,
it's just
I'm just easy. I'm fucking surprised they didn't have to reverse polarities. It's so bad.
The Earth is saved. The teams, the Decepticons and Autobots, they align. Bruticus is a hazard to both of them. They're going to have to put him to sleep.
Yeah. And so, by put him to sleep, destroy him.
Pop, pop, pop.
The Seekers, Starscream, and I'm thinking that's Ramjet, grapple him up mm-hmm. into the sky, grapple Bruticus up into the sky. Megatron does a little fusion action.
Pew, pew, pew.
And blasts Bruticus to shreds.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. No more Bruticus.
That's right.
He's gone forever.
The Autobots, they don't necessarily trust Megatron. Why would he just let them leave and go back to Earth?
Seems too easy.
Optimus Prime explains, whatever Megatron's motives, we have to remember, there would be no Earth to return
right.
without Megatron.
Thanks, Megatron. You're actually a good guy after all.
We return to Megatron, who has saved Starscream and allows him back into the ranks. We also see that Bruticus still functions, and the Decepticons are in the process
what?
Of reprogramming
what?
To obey only Megatron.
Oh,
I
no.
did like the I kind of did like the double cross where it's like mm-hmm. Megatron's like, Prime, I agree, Bruticus is too dangerous, let's kill him.
Uh-huh.
And, but then he's like, but guess what? LOL, no.
No.
And yeah,
leave it to Optimus, stupid Optimus Prime to be like, I always believe anything everybody says.
The question was posed on TF Wiki. Why doesn't Megatron do that to Starscream? Reprogram him to be loyal to him.
Because that wouldn't be any fun. Because I think Megatron likes that kind of sass.
He likes that don't sass.
Don't you?
Don't you? Are you asking if I like the sass?
He needs someone.
Sure.
He needs someone to challenge his wit.
Spank him around a little bit.
No. This is a horny episode.
Yeah. It is.
And we're at the end of it.
Are you still listening, audience?
Ryan, Caleb, how much closer would we have to get to the sun before we all perished?
I don't know.
Not that much closer. Venus is a goddamn mess.
It's true.
I mean, if we were 100,000 miles closer. Oh, I don't know what our variance to what is our variance to the sun at any given time.
Oh, you mean like our elliptical
like plus or
orbit?
Minus? Yeah,
I don't have those figures.
Like at our
oh fuck, I wish I'd done the work on that. Like if in theory, like how much could we get closer to the sun before we're like fucked?
Yeah,
don't know. Yeah, Venus is
it
fucked.
Be that much.
And the same question would be how much bigger would the sun, like the sun will eventually consume this planet.
It's true.
Slowly, it will grow.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's quite the same equation. Us going to the sun in its current state versus
sure,
the sun
sure.
growing
we'll
larger.
Just, well,
but
we'll ask one question
well,
versus
the
other. The
interesting, I mean, I don't know if it's that's interesting to anyone, but the sun getting larger, it like the reason the sun will get larger, it'll basically eventually stop consuming like hydrogen, and it'll start burning like oxygen and carbon. And by that point, like the sun is a star that can't really do that for very long. So it'll become like a red giant, which is cooler, that's simultaneously cooler, but also gets larger.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll burn, yeah, all the planets up to Jupiter.
I just wonder, like, at a certain degree of how close we are to the sun, I'm sure the magnetic field. Magnetic field protects us from the sun.
Yeah, actually. The ionosphere.
But if we're closer, does it protect us as well?
It would burn. I would say no. Our atmosphere would probably burn off like way before. Like the ionosphere protects us from cosmic rays, but like getting much closer to the sun, it would probably burn off our atmosphere. Like cosmic rays at that point are not really the issue. It's going to be the heat. So
all I want to know is our buffer zone. We'll get somebody.
I don't know. That's a good
question. I will
certainly
say,
an army of physicists listen
well,
to this show.
Physicists will tell us. Physicists. I will say this, like the difference between our overall like global temperature now and the ice age is like 4 degrees.
Yeah. Doesn't take much.
Well, then
nobody relax.
We're all gonna die.
We're all fucked. And that's there it is.
New voice actors, new characters. Our last two combiner menage songs introduced us to a handful of new voice actors. And I guess for the Protectobots, the casting directors didn't feel like bringing in much new blood.
Oh.
Motorcycle Groove and Helicopter Blades
are about them.
Voiced by Frank Welker. Police Car Streetwise is Peter Cullen. Ambulance First Aid is Michael Bell, and Fire Truck Hotspot is Dan Gilvezan.
You guys are in studio. You're doing the Protectobots. Yeah.
Who's here? You're hired.
We talked about this a little bit earlier. My speculation would be the lack of new voice acting blood, maybe due to the rushed process of including them in the show to begin
100%.
With. And I don't need to relitigate how the Protectobots ended up in here. So let's go to
In the Real World.
Yeah. In the Real World, Revenge of Bruticus aired January 8th, 1986. In the American Top 40, Say You, Say Me by Lionel Richie is still number one on the Billboard Hot 100. So I choose the number one hit from 2 weeks in March of 86, Kyrie by Mr. Mister. Which you guys probably don't recognize that name.
No.
I don't know, do you?
I recognize the name Mr. Mister, but I don't know the song.
It's probably better known as Kyrie Eleison, which is Greek for Lord have mercy. Kyrie Eleison, the road that I must travel.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, wow.
It's from
You'll probably just play the whole song at the end of this. So.
I'll play it before I said any of that. Yeah. But it's from their Welcome to the World album, released 4 days before Christmas in 1985. And so Kyrie Eleison, when I was a kid, I was trying to understand what the lyric meant. But it's not English. So that's why it's confusing.
Sure.
I remember as a kid hearing the song and not really understanding. And so it's because the closest I could come was Carrie Elena.
Yeah, Carolina.
So in my imagination, it was a guy like physically carrying a woman named Elena around.
Carolina. Yeah, you're right.
But it is, like I said, it's Greek for Lord have mercy. There's a myth that Richard Page wrote Kyrie while lying in a hospital bed after being assaulted. John Lang, the co-writer of the song, stated that he was actually the one who was assaulted 3 years prior to the composition and that this event has nothing to do with the song. The song Kyrie features in Miami Vice, Netflix's Stranger Things, and Glow, as well as the sitcom The Goldbergs. It's a good song.
It is. It's funny that I've never, you know, it's funny you hear stuff enough that you don't realize that you don't know what they're saying,
yep.
But you're just like, you just accept it.
Yeah.
But just the sounds, the sounds still embedded.
The phonetics are like, their head. Okay, yeah. Which means that there's the lyrics aren't all that important. It's just how they're formed, how they form in your mouth when you're like you're doing the melody.
Formed in your mouth.
Yeah. Ooh.
Number one at the box office for 1 week when this episode aired was the movie Out of Africa.
Yeah.
Which reached the top spot in the fourth week of its release. I put this on my DVD Netflix queue, but it didn't show up in time. So I've actually never seen this movie.
Really?
Wasn't it Oscar bait type movie?
Oh yeah. Oh, it won a lot of awards.
I watched it this year. Just
did you?
I don't watch TV except when I get in bed at night because just the way my life is right now. Mm-hmm. But we decided to watch Out of Africa, and it's visually it's awesome, and mm-hmm. it's a good movie. And Meryl Streep, of course, is an amazing.
Always great.
Yeah, and it's totally Oscar bait, and it's funny how it's related to the first porno that I ever watched, which is
I was gonna say In and Out of Africa. We've just talked about a couple of times. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Stolen from my mom's dresser.
Yeah. By the way,
God rest her soul.
I looked it up. There are scenes of it on
X Video.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
I should check that out for nostalgic reasons.
You should, for research purposes.
Yes, exactly. Nina Hartley.
Everybody. Yes, Nina Hartley.
Jerry Butler.
Jerry Butler, who was married to the original Wednesday Addams actor.
Bawana, come quick.
She's been sold to the Voodoo Queen.
Yes.
Terrible.
Yeah,
good stuff. And the Voodoo Queen is white.
No. No, she's not.
Oh, Nina Hartley was the Voodoo Queen.
No, she was the one who was kidnapped and sold to the Voodoo Queen.
Sounds like somebody needs a refresher.
It's true. A movable feast, which is where I move and you feast.
And then they had sex.
Yeah, they ate some pussies.
I remember this from my childhood. The only other thing I remember was that there was a scene where two couples were engaging in lovemaking in the doggedly position, and a guy smacked the girl's ass, and he goes like,
"Sugar smacks."
Yeah, yeah. You remember? He goes like, "I thought it was honey." I was gonna say honey smack. Like maybe. sugar smacks.
Huh. That's a good cereal. That's
a good cereal.
I don't think that was in the script. He's ad-libbing, and they kept it in for.
They just they're so liberal with letting actors do their lines.
What a good director to let the actor
perform his craft.
So this movie is a blistering 2 hours and 41 minutes.
Oh, yeah, let's go back to the real movie.
It's a very long movie.
But again, like Titanic from 1997, which I'm sure I've mentioned that it's one of my favorite movies of all time, is well over 3 hours, and I watch it all the goddamn fucking time. Really? So we'll see. Maybe not on our next episode. I'll talk about how much I loved Out of Africa. But
and Interstellar.
I put the necklace in the jacket. I put the jacket on her. Billy Zane is an excellent actor.
He is. I love Billy Zane.
The IMDb description is rather unintentionally hilarious for this movie. Follows the life of Karen Blixton, who establishes a plantation in Africa. Her life is complicated by a husband of convenience, a true love, troubles on the plantation, schooling of the natives, war, and catching VD from her husband.
Yeah.
The fact that I haven't watched this and then just reading the description, I'm like, I don't know how bad this movie is. Like, I'm like, is this a white savior movie? I don't know.
A little bit.
It is an epic drama. Like, it's a romantic drama directed by Sidney Pollack, starring Meryl Streep and Robert Redford. The film is based on a 1937 autobiographical book, Out of Africa, written by Karen Blixton under the pseudonym Isaac Dennison. So, I mean, what's interesting is the story was originally planned as a project. Like, this was tried to get off the ground for so long. It was planned as a project for Greta Garbo. And Orson Welles tried to get it off the ground for a long time.
Yeah.
About 70% of this movie was filmed in Africa.
Yep. It's stunning.
Yeah. The cinematography, all accounts, is beautiful.
I would say this. It's not heavy-handed with the white savior. It is a little heavy-handed with the white savior. But it is an interesting... It is the Dances with Wolves of Africa.
Oof.
Yeah, she it's an interesting entry point into learning about the imperialization of the continent of Africa.
What part of Africa are they on? When it, where is it set?
God, I don't remember.
I believe it's Kenya.
Yeah, which you say Africa. It's such Africa is such a huge continent.
Yeah,
that you stereotype an entire continent. That's so dumb, but it is interesting how it kind of portrays like that that late imperial period of just the remaining parts of Africa that have not been imperialized, and it's fucking sad.
What year was it set?
37.
Yeah, late in the imperialization.
Yeah, so the British Empire is almost done.
Yeah, so it's kind of like this crest of imperialism.
But it's pre-World War II.
Pre-World War II. It's right on the cusp.
And it's just like, and it's like these last peoples that have not really been conquered by imperialism, and they get, you know, there's that influence, and then everything else. It's just, it's kind of like, it's really sad if you look at it. It's romantic,
yeah,
and sad, and you're just like, white people
did everything bad.
Fucking hell.
I guess I was mixed up. I thought that Kenya was semi-colonized or colonized by the Italians. I think I'm thinking of Ethiopia.
You're thinking
maybe.
Of Ethiopia and Libya.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, come on, Ryan. You're doing great.
Thank you. This movie did quite well, despite holding onto the number one title for only 1 week. It made $227 million off a $31 million budget.
Yeah, it was a hit.
This movie received a particularly poor critical response at the time and since, especially considering it won 7 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Director, Screenplay, and Cinematography. It has a 62% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I like watching it. If I just go in to watch it like from a purely romantic standpoint,
then
I enjoy it. Yeah, I would. You almost want to watch it like you would watch like Game of Thrones, in a way, as far as
I don't
like,
want to watch Game of Thrones.
Have you watched Game of Thrones?
No.
Yet another thing that Ryan hasn't watched.
Why would I do that?
Because I don't know. But yet another thing that you haven't watched that you're judging.
I've seen like 3 episodes, and I read the first book, and I'm like, this is fucking boring.
Don't watch the last season. It's a fucking bummer and disappointment.
Okay. Or don't watch any of the seasons leading up to it.
Actually,
your choice.
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing. It's illegal to own a private handgun in Kenya. Also to own a toy or fake gun. So there is a prop one in the movie, which was made out of paper mache and was turned over to the government after filming.
That is really interesting.
That's all about that movie. Fun facts from this week in history. The military's cut-rate cheap cigarettes will be abolished under a policy proposed by senior Pentagon officials to reduce smoking in the military. The officials spoke on a condition they not be named.
The military actually produced cigarettes?
No, they just sold them, like, at cost.
Got it.
Like, you know, like, in especially, like, World War II and all, like, you basically, like, go to the PC and you get cigarettes for super cheap.
Sure.
And they were like, good. We're not going to do that anymore.
Why?
Well, to reduce smoking in the military.
Oh, okay.
I guess they're like, we're tired of people getting winded.
Emphysema. Yeah, winded is a good, yeah. I guess that would be a kind of counter.
Also, this is apropos of nothing, but I recently watched Born on the 4th of July again for the first time in like probably 20 years. And that movie's sad.
It is. It's really sad. It's really fucking sad. Yeah.
Oliver Stone's back. In the news.
I don't like Oliver Stone.
He's doing is good.
Yeah,
all up in the Kennedy stuff. There are Kennedy papers that are legally have been supposed to have been released to the public that Congress has been holding up for like since the 90s. So, you know, he's all up in that. He's talking about it. What's a good Oliver Stone? I mean, Platoon's a great movie. Born on the 4th of July is not a bad movie.
I like Platoon. I like Platoon, but you know what? I'd rather watch
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now.
We both just...
It's fine. I'd rather watch Apocalypse.
Two totally different.
What did you say?
Full Metal Jacket. Yes, I would much rather watch Full Metal Jacket.
That's also an excellent film.
It is. So, yeah.
Hey, you know what? It's a good thing we had that war because we got a lot of great songs and movies from it.
That's right.
Oh, Vietnam.
Yeah.
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 My dad was stationed in Kentucky.
My dad was in South China Sea.
Cool.
I never had a dad.
My Your dad was playing piano.
Some historical facts about this day. In 1790, the first U.S. president, George Washington, delivered the first State of the Union address.
What was this day again?
This is January 8th in this year, 1790.
Excellent.
In January 8th, 1835, the U.S. national debt is $0 for the first and only time in history.
What year?
1835.
Quite some, that was a big, that was a crazy real world segment.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know why you need to say thank you.
I have to. I can say well thank done. You if I want to.
No, well done. I love it.
Rip deviations.
This is the last Larry Strauss episode. Good. He did Ultimate Doom Part 1.
Shots fired.
Blaster Blues. He sucks. Blaster Blues and Triple Takeover. Honestly, Triple Takeover is great, but it's because it's so fucking not good.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
They made an Autobot throne.
So we talked about the Protectobots. The beginning where Starscream and the Combaticons are bitching at each other. Starscream says, "You're not an army. You're a troop of mechanized Girl Scouts." In the script.
Nice.
All right, a little sexism. A little.
Yep. You may have noticed that Bruticus says Shockwave controls the giant sentinels, but they're consistently shown as much smaller. We talked about that. That was a late line edit, and I feel like it never made it to the animators. The part where Perceptor and Spike are looking in space is expanded in the script because they're observing the fight between the Autobots and the Insecticons, and then they transit from that to looking into space. Which maybe makes it clear why Perceptor and Spike show up to tell Prime that the Earth's orbit is fucked. But in the script also, there's foreshadowing about the Earth falling into the sun is even more heavy-handed, because Perceptor says, the chances of this planet ever colliding with a real star are remote. Unless, of course, it were the sun, in which case the chances are greater if still remote.
Okay, I'm glad they cut that out.
When Shockwave and Starscream collide in space, and Shockwave grabs Starscream's nose cone, in the episode, Starscream just says, let go. But in the script, he goes, let go, you lousy hitchhiker space leech.
I kind of wish they would have put that in.
Yeah, it seems better. This is our last appearance of our paranoid friend Red Alert. Was he suicided because he knew too much? That's fucking it. This episode sucked.
Ryan, then I'd like you to be the first to rate the scheme.
So whose scheme?
Yeah, what scheme?
I mean, the Combaticons really did a great job, except they're so dumb. And also,
dumb
like,
in Bruticus mode.
Yeah, well, that and like, oh no, not the three dots. Yeah,
that's not their fault. They didn't know that existed.
I guess it's behind them.
It's
behind
very,
them, know.
It's very like dipping your son in the river Styx and like, oh no, Achilles has this one like weakness. It's stupid.
The other thing about that weakness is the opportunity to exploit it would be hard to come by because for that to work,
only
his
if
backpack
wasn't on. Yeah,
It wasn't that great. I like the animation a lot though.
The animation is nice.
Animation 5 out of 5. Scheme 3 out of 5 would change everything.
Yeah. I'm on board.
All right, so, okay. We can.
I'm the ghost of the iconic moment.
You know, iconic moment for me is Shockwave writing Starscream.
Yeah, that's how you.
What else are you going
to
do?
From a pop culture standpoint, a lot of people point to the gun, Bruticus holding the Shockwave as a gun and using him.
Mm-hmm.
There's been lots of toys that have homaged that, mostly third party, but there's even been some first party. They made Combiner Wars Shockwaves where you could transform and Bruticus could hold him. So this is a pretty iconic episode.
It's true. I guess.
Just not a good episode.
No, it's not. That's a great way of putting it.
Next time on the Autobot Decepticast.
After defeating the Stunticons, 5 of the Autobots pose as the crazed Combiners to learn of Megatron's newest plan.
That's going to be a weird one.
I read that right from TF Wiki. Thanks, contributors. If you like what we do, give us some money.
Yes.
Patreon. Or, you don't want to make any long-term commitments. There's, of course, the store.
Yes.
Posters. We'll probably have some new merch up.
We will.
If you weren't buying the old merch, you probably won't be that into the new merch.
I don't know. Buy merch. All of the merch is good.
Okay.
Don't put one merch down.
I like that we've already front-loaded. You may not like it.
All of our merch is good. Buy it.
Just check the store, and if you like it, just get it.
Yeah,
you know, it's cool.
Good stuff.
And I think you will. You can peep it all at autopoddecepticast.com/store, or maybe get it on that booty box action at patreon.com/apoddecast.
Please.
I'm privileged to ask you to continue listening. Tell your pals. Tell your family.
Tell your pals. Tell your wife.
Tell your pal's wife.
Yes.
Tell your wife's pal.
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn, iTunes, Apple Podcast users, please leave us one of those sweet 5-star reviews, unless you think we've gotten too political.
If you leave a 1-star, at least
tell us
why.
Like, give us something.
Don't just leave a 1-star and not say anything.
Don't do some bitch. Don't do some stupid shit like that. We'll be
assholes.
At TFCon Chicago if you want to talk to us about it.
We will be.
We'll be rolling deep. We rolling deep, so you better bring your homies.
Yes, right.
Anyway, all of
our Moondog's gonna be with us.
That's right. All of our Moondog is just gonna be our thug.
Yeah,
he's gonna be our call him
a muscle.
Yeah,
we'll be like, get a Moondog.
Well, we're making a lot of presumptions about what Moondog is gonna
true.
Do for
also,
us.
Also, like, I feel like Bono and Mandy will be our like
our thugs.
Protect us.
We've
yeah.
got a whole posse of. People,
if you'd like to protect us, we'll be a TFCon.
Yeah,
Chicago.
If you want to be part of our muscle, you want
to
beat up people for us,
and if you'd like to fight us, we'll be a TFCon Chicago.
Yeah,
October 20,
but you better be ready.
22. You can hang out with us on social media: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at @apoddcast. Kick out the website.
Kick them out.
Kick it in. Kick it left. Kick it right.
Well, this was an episode.
It was.
Hey,
like
thanks
it.
Everybody.
So late
bye.
Right now.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
It's late.
We did it. Based on this goddamn business card.
Cells is the sponsor of Autopod Decepticast. Yes, 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 yes.